Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. On today's show, Mr. Jeffrey Anthony will talk about a really interesting initiative he's working on called Hamstrong, which is to help raise awareness about animal cruelty. So I'd like to welcome to the show Jeffrey Anthony. Good afternoon, Jeffrey, and welcome to the show.
Hi, John. How are you?
So great to have you, Jeffrey. Could you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and why you became an advocate for animal testing?
Well, I grew up in the southern part of India, and when I was a child, I always had passion about animals, and I always wanted to have pets, and my family was literally against having pets. And what I did was once that I brought a dog from the streets into our home, and that was one of the main disaster for me. And my family was very angry, and they chased the dog away. And that kind of created a big impact on every time I see the dog, I always wanted to feed him. And so eventually I protested against my family and got that done. So later, I went on doing my education. So I did chemical engineering. Ironically, I even went on specializing on chemical they used for leather creations. So that was something that it did not really occur to me at that point. That was a cruel thing, and it was just an education for me. Even though I was an animal lover and I loved animals, when I did make school on the chemical, I did not really realize that much. And when I went into the tanneries and I started seeing all this stuff, and it really, really created an impact. And I started thinking to myself that even as an animal lover myself, I was not aware of everything. It's not just I'm an animal hater, but I did not realize all the hidden factors in this cruelty. So that always stood in my way. And later I left my chemical engineering and started pursuing my media career. And I worked in several televisions and movies, and I did commercials for cars, and I used to do Nissan car commercials before. And in later 2010, I started my own company in Canada, Vancouver, and that's when I said my company is going to go do something for animal cruelty, and I will use a digital medium to do this. And that's the reason I chose to do the animal cruelty campaign.
Thank you. Now, talk about Hamstrong. What is it, and how big of a team do you have, and how did you manage to get all these people involved with it?
Well, I mean, Hamstrong initially started as a mobile game. So we wanted to create this digital media to reach younger audience. So we brought in a team of developers and animators to create this game. And me being a commercial company, that obviously I need to fund it myself. And so every time we had a huge project that we have to work on, I need to source some of the funding to the main project, and also to the Hamstrong same time. And since it's an animal cruelty a campaign, that our developers and artists are all animal lovers, and they are so passionate about it. And I have about five people worked on that before, and now we have about 10 people working on this, and all are hardcore animal lovers, and they bring different things to the table. Every time I miss out something, they go do research and they bring in, oh, Jeffrey, we need to talk about this area, and we missed out scientific evidence here. So they were very, very cooperative and all so passionate about this program, and that's how it's like a family for me rather than a team.
That's really so nice. I mean, you have people that are devoting so much of their time, and the accuracy, I think, is what matters as well.
Yes.
Because to get the information out there really is what makes the difference. And both of us have similar backgrounds in the sense that we had so much knowledge, but it wasn't until we had real-life experiences that we learned and expanded our knowledge and understood just exactly how much animal cruelty is being done for the sake of industry.
Yes, yes, that's so true. Like, I know when we did some research, we even found out how younger kids are abusive to animals, and it was shocking. I read this news about the Baltimore story, and they're like pups and pigs. They all burned to death by kids, and that was. There wasn't something that it's not something they're doing it for, you know, a reason or any kind of to create a image, and they are doing it because they're just not aware of it, and a cool factor comes in place as well. That is where, you know, we our strategy of this animation was so well drawn to make this animation a cool factor, so that we attract the younger audience, plus telling them a message saying that it's wrong. Anything you do to the animal is absolutely wrong because they deserve to live with us like you do. So that's definitely, yes. Yeah. You know,
well, it's kind of interesting when you look at games like Angry Birds,
mm-hmm.
which have basically been a big hit, especially amongst young people.
Mm-hmm.
It's disturbing that a game that attacks birds is something that would be even marketed.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at from a perspective of a kid or a person who's playing this game, they do not see the problem here. They just play it for fun and they just do it. And that is a problem. That's a difficulty we'll have to deal with. And when you create a game which is anti-cruelty, and you say, well, you escape this prison, and you don't hurt anyone, and you help everybody along with it. But you create a cool factor game where you tell this kind of message as an alternative message that will impact. But if you don't say anything and you create this very bad impact, like bad Angry Bird type of games that will. They're not even realizing that what they're doing. And end of the day, down the road, they won't even care, oh, what if a bird gets hit? It doesn't matter to me, kind of feeling. That's why we need to stop that.
I couldn't agree more, and that's why I love what you're doing. Can you just share with our audience exactly what age groups are you trying to target? And also, if you want to just talk about some of the scenarios with Hamstrong.
Well, initially when we started the game, the target audience was about from early teens. So probably like, you know, maybe 9, 10 to 17, 18 years old. But when we decided to do the TV component animation, we thought, okay, we can incorporate some adults messages, but not showing gruesome images or not showing anything that will chase the kids away. So we crafted it such a way that a kid can watch from 8 to 10 years old and all up until, you know, 35, 40 years old. Because what I did was, before creating this animation, with just my idea, I created the social media campaign on Facebook. And I was so amazed on how many varieties of people came to my Facebook. I have 17,000 fans in less than 4 months, and all of them are under the, like 75% of them were under the age of 13 to 25, and I have rest of them from 35 onwards. So I can see the whole array of people coming and getting interest in the show. So it's a difficult thing, a very difficult topic and very difficult thing to kind of bring all the whole range of audience. That's why one of the things we did is to create a game and then a tablet device ebook and a TV show. So it will reach different people, different demography of different age group.
I think it's excellent, and it's the perfect time for it. Right now, there's so many games that really should not be on the market. All they do is reinforce negativity, from cruelty to animals to cruelty towards other human beings, and it's got to stop. So I really think that Hamstrung is such a fantastic way to utilize modern technology, especially since so many kids have their little PCs and their little their handheld devices. There's so many out there, I can't even name them all, but it's perfect. And I think the opportunity is there for you to really connect with these young people and let them know that, you know, this is what really goes on in a way that they can understand.
Yeah, of course.
Jeffrey, can you share with our audience the website and how people can support your initiative?
Well, right now, when I'm a profit, I'm a commercial company, so all the funding so far related to Hamstrung is our own money. And what we are trying to do to create this production successfully, we are using crowdfunding as our tool. And obviously, anyone can donate to us. Even a dollar will make a huge difference for us. And it'll be cost for everyone. And one other thing I wanted to mention is all the sales after completing a 12-episode series and updating the iPhone game, that every sale, 50% of the sales will go back to animal cruelty-free organization, welfare organizations. Right now, we have chosen three different organizations, which is Humane Society International, cruelty-free.org, and also our local BC SPCA for our own animals here in our backyard. So that's one of the ways we are also supporting the animals back. And to reach us, we have our website. You can come and check us out all the time, and we'll update anything we have done in there. It's ham-strong, ham-strong, strong.com. And we also have Facebook. If you come to our website, you'll have all the links in there. And you go to Facebook, you can see what we have done and what people are talking about us, and you can interact with us as well. It's just a community, so we all have to work together to make a better place for animals.
Jeffrey, I just want to ask you about the actual development part of this. A lot of people don't understand why it would take a long time to put something like this together, why you need such a big team, and why it's so costly. So could you just share a little bit about the labor that's involved and how intense it is?
Well, animation, it's like every other movie. We know we have seen Madagascar and Jurassic Park, and it's like those movies. And we need to, first of all, craft a story. And once the story is crafted, so we have story writers who craft that. And once the story is crafted, we do character development. So obviously Hamstrung is developed, and we will develop the ancillary characters of the Hamstrung's friends in the laboratory. So that needs tremendous sketching, different ideas. We will be brainstorming with thousands of images, and we'll pick and choose one out of them. And this takes very long time to just even get the concepts. And on top of it, we will have to do like a movie production. We need to create this animation every single steps a frame. Like, we need to redraw every frame. And this is like virtually filming a movie in your computer. And the work and also the talent goes in it. It's like a visualization. You need to imagine like a hamster running around. You have to be a hamster. So if you come to our office, it'll be very funny. We will be crawling on this on the floor, act like a hamster. So an animator can visualize us, oh, how hamster is going to run in this particular situation. So because we cannot film a hamster doing that. So it's like for every character, and the artists are so good. They will bring this to life, and once they the animators brings to life, and from there onwards we have a rendering process. We need to render all the animated image to one flat image. It takes a very long time. Our company, we have more than 40 computers for artists. So when the Hamstrong production picks up, we'll have 40 artists plus working on the production, and then equipment. So we have more than 1,000 cores of render form, which will be rendering, just doing rendering process for this movie. So it's a huge production process. It's not straightforward. And then the strategies goes in terms of marketing it as well after the product is completed. So yeah, it is a bit difficult, and that's why it's very expensive.
Also, I would like to point out for people that don't really understand what's involved, you have a lot of competition out there with all sorts of other types of games, and in order to pique a child's interest, you really have to be cutting edge. You have to have something that has a hot-looking design, has a very interesting concept, and the interactive part is really what makes something successful. So these things really do make a difference, and that's why the labor is so incredibly intensive. And in essence, that's why you're looking to go to the public and say, hey, look, you know, we have this fantastic initiative. Nobody else is doing anything like this. Now, help us out. And what you're doing will actually help so many animals out there all over the world.
Yeah.
And for people who are animal lovers, I strongly encourage you, if you can spare it, even if it's a dollar, visit their website and support their efforts. Jeffrey, it has been wonderful having you on the show and learning so many things about what you're doing, who you're about, and it's such a great feeling to know that there are people out there like you who may not be out in the field, who may not be out in the gardens or working with the animals directly, but you're using your talents to help reach so many people. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Jen.
And folks, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic Bee Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.